Ask my wife to stand up. This is my wife, Mary. Three of our four kids are with us in Singapore, and the other boy is up in Seattle area going to college, and he's getting real close to getting married. So, we're transitioning in many ways. But tomorrow we leave to go back to Singapore. We will get on a plane somewhere about an hour and a half from now, tomorrow, and head out 17 hours across the Pacific to go back to Singapore and start our next term there on the field. I just wanted to share this with you. On the back table outside the door and to your right as you go out, we've got three CD albums. People have asked us for a number of years, did we have teaching albums? It was very difficult to do that when we lived in Russia because either I was preaching through an interpreter or I was preaching in Russian. And so you can't really make albums for Americans that way with the Russian on them. And then we weren't set up. We were technologically challenged in Russia and didn't have the equipment that we'd need to make good quality albums. But in Singapore, we do. And so I went in. I did not do these in front of a congregation. I did these in a sound booth. And they have kind of a one-on-one feel towards them, kind of like in a radio program. I'm really pleased with how they came out. We're very happy with them. There's two CDs in each album, and we normally sell them for $15 each. In fact, we've been selling them for $15 all summer, but we wanted to bless you, and we also want to not take any back with us to Singapore, and so we're discounting them to $12 for each album. And there's just a few back there, but we did purposely save some for By His Word. So there's about seven of these each back there. But let me just tell you briefly, Power of a Seed is a message that I've preached here. And I can say with all boldness that this is one of the best one volume teaching that I know of in one package. There's two CDs, but it's the best one volume teaching that I know of on the subject of faith. And I say that with all boldness because the Holy Spirit gave me that message. And it is something that has just worked in me for probably, maybe going on 15 years. And the concept of it is that the Word of God is a seed. And, of course, the life that's in a seed is released when you plant it. The thing that will surprise, I think, a lot of faith people is to find out that that seed is not planted by saying it. Although saying it is involved with planting it, someone has to say, speak the word in order to plant that seed. But speaking in and of itself and saying it is not actually what plants that seed. Now, as I said, you got to say it. Usually somebody's got to say the word, and usually it's you. But it's not saying it that releases the life that's in that seed. And that's what this message is about from Mark chapter 4, 24 to 26 to 28, about how to release the potential of the kingdom of God into your life, because all of the potential of the kingdom of God is stored up in the seed of God's word. That's the power of a seed. Exceedingly abundantly is another message that I have preached here. It's based on Ephesians 3:20 that says, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think according to the power that works in you. We have lived out that message and seen how God has done that in our own life and ministry. I think when that scripture really came clear to me was when I was standing in a cave in the middle of China some years back. I had been believing God according to Psalm chapter 2, where it says, ask me for the nations for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. I began to pray that and believe that and speak that. And we were really believing God that our ministry would affect thousands and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands and millions of people. And that day in that cave in China, I was ministering to a group of underground leaders, among whom was one young man who oversees, I'm told, about 800,000 believers. And the man that I work with there in China oversees a network of about 3 to 4 million believers. And that's when it came home to me that God really is able to do infinitely more, immeasurably more, exceeding abundantly more than you can ask or imagine according to the power that works in you. There's a lot of good teaching material out there on the subject of reaching your potential and fulfilling your potential. And it's good. It's all good. But do you know, in my own life, something that's always hit home and close to heart for me is that I've been so keenly aware of the limitations of my potential. And so I really have looked to find a way to tap into God's potential and to go beyond my own potential and my own limitations. And Ephesians 3:20 is about that. It's not about you. It's about what God can do in you and through you according to His power that works in you. And then most recently, this is a message that really just came together for me in the spring. It came about because we are now teaching at Rhema Singapore. Rhema started it in Tulsa. Brother Hagin started it in Tulsa. And now there's 14 of them around the world. And we're associated with the one in Singapore. We teach there. We're on the faculty. And Mary and I are both involved with the administration of that school. But when we went there last August, we left Russia last spring and transitioned, went to Singapore in August. They asked me, what do you want to teach? And I just went with the attitude of wanting to serve and do whatever they asked me to do. And it was in my heart to teach whatever anyone else didn't want to teach. But, I used to be a lawyer. And so when I said to them, I'll teach anything, I was smart enough to put a condition on that. And I said, except eschatology. Eschatology is end times. The events leading up to and following the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. And so I said, I'll teach anything except eschatology. And the reason why I said that is because I didn't know anything about eschatology. Except that Jesus is coming. But I had to teach for like 18 sessions or something like that. And I didn't know how I was going to fill up 18 sessions because that's all I knew. I could start out and say, Jesus is coming. Now let's review. And so I didn't know how I could stretch that out. But as I was studying that out, I came across a scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:10 says that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be recompensed for the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. And I always liked the good part of that scripture, the get recompense for the good. But the get recompense for the bad always made me a little uneasy. Always made me squirm a little bit. And I couldn't understand why for are we getting recompense for the deeds done in the body that are bad? Because what about Romans 8:1? No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. What about Hebrews 8? I think Hebrews 8, chapter 8 and chapter 10 says that God has forgiven and forgotten. He'll never call our sins and iniquities to mind. And He'll cast them into the depths of the sea and so on and so forth. And that we've been delivered from the wrath to come. So why are we talking about the bad things? And as I studied that out, I discovered that just like in English, in Greek, we have more than one word for the word bad. And so, too, in the New Testament language, that scripture I found out really is better rendered this way, that we will be recompensed for the deeds done in the body, whether good or good for nothing. Those that are fruitful and unfruitful. So that is not a judgment of the believer, but of his works. It has nothing to do with you, in a sense. You're not going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, but just like you get a year-end bonus if you've been productive, so too at the judgment seat of Christ, you be rewarded. And we don't understand completely what those rewards are going to look like, but we can be sure of two things. Number one, they're good. And number two, they last forever. And I'll just throw this in. I want some. In fact, I want yours if you don't want it. And so I found out that we are rewarded for the things done in the body that are good. And the key to that, to being fruitful, having a fruitful Christian life, and that's what this album is about, is being filled full with the full, complete, and precise knowledge of the will of God. This is a teaching based upon Colossians 1, 9 through 12, the prayer that Paul prayed there. There's a direct relationship between fruitfulness and being filled with the knowledge of His will. So, those are out there. They're $12 each, and you can get them if you want. There's brochures out there, too. Let's get into the Word here. We'll pray and then we'll start. Heavenly Father, we bless You and we worship You and we thank You so much for the Lord Jesus. We thank You, Father, for this opportunity to minister Your truth to Your people because the knowledge of the truth makes free. And Father, in Your Word, You said, I have anointed him with My holy oil. And so, Father, I ask You and trust You. I ask You to anoint me this morning with Your holy oil that destroys bondage and burdens and yokes and disease and cancers and tumors and thyroid problems and diabetes and asthma and torment and debt and strife and division. I thank You for that holy oil that You poured upon Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when You anointed Him to preach the gospel. And I thank You, Father, that I am a son of God. I am anointed of the Holy Ghost. I thank You that that anointing is here today. Give me utterance in the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel as I ought to proclaim the word with boldness. I pray that signs and wonders be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And we give you all of the praise and glory and honor for now and forever. And all the believers said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, as I said, we have transitioned now and we are in Singapore. We started out 150 miles south of the Arctic Circle, and we are now about 60 miles north of the equator. So we started out on the tundra with rocks and snow, no trees, and we are now in the land of palm trees. We started out with temperatures of minus 100, minus 90 degrees Fahrenheit. And we are now in a place where the year-round temperatures are somewhere around 88 to 92 degrees above. But somebody's got to do it. Amen? No, I was telling Pastor before the service, we're really happy. And we are in the will of God. We just... never thought, we never imagined that God would move us down into that part of the world. But you know, when I think about it, I was thinking about this a while back. Actually, almost our entire ministry, we have ministered to Asians, to Asian people. Because shortly after we got out of Rhema, we went back up to Alaska. And in Alaska, I started ministering to the Eskimo and Indian people up there. And they are Asian people. They came over from Asia. And then when we went over to northeastern Russia, of course, we ministered to the Russians, but we also had Chukchi and Eskimo people there, and they are Asian people. And now, after we moved down into the Russian Far East, I began ministering in the underground church in China, and then Nepal and Thailand. Just made stops into there. But, of course, that's Southeast Asia. And Singapore, for those of you that don't know, is... If you were to get on a plane and fly from Seattle to Korea, let's say, you'd have to drop down, go past Vietnam and Cambodia over to Thailand. And there's a long, thin peninsula that hangs down from Southeast Asia. It's called the Malay Peninsula. And Singapore is an island at the base of that peninsula. It is an island, a city-state. The city is the nation. There's about 4 million people there. But it's very strategic. And from there, we're able to go anywhere in Southeast Asia. I've been back up into Russia. We're scheduled to go back to Russia. We have a trip in the works. We're planning for India. I spent a month last year in Thailand, teaching at Rhema, Thailand. I was in Nepal last January. And I was back in China last November, December, in two different underground situations. So it's been a great blessing for us to be there. And I would say this. We are enjoying the favor of God in that place as never before. We have realized this, that over the last 19 years, if we count from the beginning of the time we went off to Bible school until now, that the favor of God has been inseparably connected with our ability to fulfill the will of God in our lives. Now, it wasn't always that way. I grew up not far from here and grew up in Seattle. I was one of 7 children. My mother passed away when I was 16. My father remarried 2 years later, 5 years later, I'm sorry. And my stepmom had 4 kids. And then my dad and stepmom had 2 more. So we ended up with 13. And we were a good Irish Catholic family growing up. And actually, you know, I knew nothing about the favor of God. Now, the scripture says in Luke 2:52 that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. He kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And, you know, it's very clear to me that he would not have been able to fulfill his ministry had he not walked in the favor of God. But as I said, growing up, I knew nothing about the favor of God. I never heard it taught. In the church that I grew up in, really, they didn't even teach about the new birth. And I'm not being critical of that church, but we just didn't hear about it. In fact, I have many positive memories and experiences from growing up in the church that I did, and I learned a lot about God, but we weren't taught about the new birth, and definitely weren't taught about the favor of God. And so I didn't walk in the favor of God. If anything, I was, repelled the favor of God. I had such a negative self-image and such an aching sense of insecurity and lack of confidence that if anything, I repulsed the favor of God. I was favorless. I was in poverty when it came to favor. And even after I got born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, I still knew nothing about the favor of God. It was years before I ever began to even hear about the favor of God. And even when I did, I still didn't understand it. And I thought that favor really was for rich people or smart people or good-looking people. Anybody but me. And I never would have admitted this as a spirit-filled Christian, but deep down in my heart, I think that I just believed that some people were luckier than others. I just saw favor as optional equipment. You know, back, when you buy a car, some things are optional. And my life hadn't come with that option. But I just figured, well, that's all right, because just by sheer determination and sheer grit and determination, I will attain some level of mediocrity without favor. I will just fight it through and get there somehow, just being Irish and raised the way I was. I just thought, well, I'll just do this by sheer dint of self-effort. And so I was ignorant. Then gradually I began to understand some things about favor, and I understood that favor is good and that I could have some, but I didn't have any. And then somehow over the years, I didn't know how, it seemed almost at random, somehow I began to experience favor. And I didn't have a clue. I didn't know how this was happening. And so I liked that. And I thought, well, Now, I understand a little bit about favor, and I've got some, but I need more. And so I went about trying to get more, and I thought there's a lot of things I'd have to do to get favor. I'd have to learn to talk differently and walk differently and dress differently and drive differently. And again, there's probably a lot of good books out there on favor and things you can do. I guess, Dale Carnegie, I've never read that book all the way through. But what is that book? How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies? Is that right? Influence people. Well, some of those people are enemies, so. By the way, I was blessed by the words that came forth this morning. Greatly ministered to me. And I just appreciate the courage of that one young gal that came up. And I may get a chance to share something. I don't know if that blessed you, helped you, but it ministered to me. And it is directly a confirmation of a vision that I have. Now, so I thought, I was saying there are things that you can do, and there's good material out there about what you can do to walk in the favor of God. But that can become very burdensome if you don't approach it right, and you will never get there. You'll always, could always dress better. You could always drive better. You could always walk better. You know what I mean? Your actions and so on. There's just some people that seem to have an innate sense of what's cool, of what causes people to be drawn to you. And I don't know. The favor of God is when God, favor with God and man, is when God is positively, beneficially inclined to help you, lift you up, independent of who you are and what you've done. And that favor spills over into the people arena so you can have favor with people, so that they are positively inclined, beneficially inclined to bless you and help you independently of your own merits or how much you deserve. And so the thought, though, that I want to get across to you is that for me to think that I've got to, like I say, do all these things in order to have the favor of God is burdensome, because you never get there. you always could do something else. And that it's always dependent upon you. And so one day, I think it was about 2 years ago or so, I was talking to the Lord and I asked Him this question. And the answer that He gave me really profoundly changed the way I approach life. And it changed my thinking. And what I asked the Lord was, I said, Lord, other than Jesus, who had the most favor in the New Testament? And I was startled by His answer. He spoke to me and He said to me immediately and directly, He said, you, meaning me. Now that answer blessed me tremendously. Lord, who in the New Testament had the most favor other than the Lord Jesus? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you. I was blessed. I was uplifted. But it only took me about 2 seconds to think myself out of that blessing. Because I've always been analytical. And I very quickly, you know, came to the conclusion and said to the Lord, but Lord, here's a problem. I'm not in the New Testament. And the Lord then spoke to me and brought to mind John 17:20, where Jesus was praying to the Father, and He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which will believe in Me through their word. God has always had you in mind. Amen. As the word of the Lord came forth this morning. God, when He conceived the whole plan of redemption, the whole new covenant, He always and forever had you in mind. Because Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says that you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. The whole plan of redemption, the whole new covenant, the whole New Testament, that's what the new covenant is. It's the New Testament. That's what a covenant is. It's a testament. That's what a last will and testament is. It's a covenant. It's a covenant that a person makes before they die. And once they die, that covenant is unbreakable. It's set in stone. You cannot revoke a will, which is a testament or a covenant. You cannot revoke a will after the testator dies. The testator is the person who makes a will. Once that person dies, the will is locked into place. And Jesus is the testator of the New Testament, the new covenant in His blood. And when God conceived it, He always and forever had you in mind. He always and forever had you in heart. He always and forever had your best interests foremost in His thinking. You were not an afterthought. You were not something 2,000 years down the road, or 10,000 years, or a billion years down the road. Always and forever, from before the foundation of the world, He chose you. Hallelujah! And He chose you in Him. Now, I've figured this out, and I'm still getting a hold of this. That is that you will find yourself in Him. And you will never find yourself outside of Him. Unless you are contented with who you are after the flesh. If you are just contented to be who you are naturally. I was born in Seattle, and I lived and grew up on 1044 Marine View Drive Southwest. From James J. and Sarah Gallagher Purcell, one of seven children, born at Virginia Mason Hospital. And I went through these experiences growing up, and this happened, and this didn't happen, and that happened, and I know this, and I don't know that, and I have this, and I have this much money, and I don't have that much money, and I have this much education, and not that much. And all these things went into that package. If that's all you know about yourself, you don't know you. Because you are not who you think you are. And you're not even who your mama thinks you are. You're not who your wife thinks you are. You're not who the boss thinks you are. You're not who the neighbors think you are. And as I said, most of the time you're not even who you think you are. Because you are who God thinks you are. And He thought about you from before the foundation of the earth. And He chose you in Christ. You will never find out who you are, your destiny, your purpose, what's your identity. You'll never understand that apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You were created in Christ Jesus when you were born again. If you are born again, if you're born of the Spirit, you were created at that moment in Christ Jesus. I don't care who your mommy and daddy were, or what high school you went to, or what education you have, or what your bank account is, or what kind of mistakes you've made, or how many times you've been divorced. I tell you what, when you were created in Christ Jesus, you became a new creation. And old things passed away. And all things became new. And when you choose to walk in who you are in Christ, that is a permanent status for you. Even when you've made mistakes after you were born again, because God didn't just take care of the things you did before you were born again. And so, He found you in Him, and you find yourself in Him. And He chose you in Him. Amen. Amen. When He devised the new covenant, the plan of redemption, He thought of you. He thought of your life. That's why it says in Jeremiah 29, I think verse 11 says, I know the plans I have for you. As the word of the Lord came forth this morning. Plans for a hope and a future. Amen. God didn't just cook that plan up when you were born. It was in place. God is a planner. God is Irish. He is, Pastor. It's a new revelation. I just got it. He's part Irish anyway. He's also part Japanese, part Korean, part Eskimo, part Indian, part African. Hallelujah! Adam came out of the loins of God, and all of us came out of the loins of Adam. Amen. Just put the human race together and get them saved, and you've got a picture of Father God. Hallelujah. So when the Lord said that to me, and He spoke to me, and He said, I said, Lord, who had the most favor in the New Testament other than Jesus? And He said to me, you. I saw some things instantly. I saw two things right away. Number one, I saw that all the favor that God ever could or will pour out, He had poured out on the Lord Jesus. Because there never has been a more highly favored individual in the universe than the Son of God, than the Lord Jesus Christ. All the favor that God ever could or will pour out, He poured out on Jesus. And number two, I saw that whereas in the past I'd seen myself continually in a state of either having no favor or having some favor and needing more, I suddenly understood that all the favor of God, all the favor that He poured out on Jesus is mine. It is my present possession. Hey, read them books. Go ahead. Find out what you can do to release the favor of God more in your life. But let me just tell you this. You don't get favor by reading the books or by wearing certain jewelry or certain watches or certain shoes or driving certain cars or acting certain ways. You don't get it that way. Now, here's the thing. Jesus deserved the favor of God. He earned it and He deserved it. But it comes to me wholly by grace. And you know something else? You don't even have to confess that you have the favor of God in order to get it. Do you know why? Because you've got it. You're not going to get it by confessing for it. You know why? Because He's got it. And you've got Him. And you're in Him. And if He's in you and you're in Him, you've got that favor. You know what speaking the word does is it releases faith. It causes us to enter in. Sometimes, as we talk about faith, we get this idea that, well, my faith got me this. But you know the truth of it is that God's grace got you the whole plan of redemption. And He just served it up on a platter. But what faith does and why faith is so important is faith takes what God has given. Faith receives what grace has provided. Honey, you don't earn it. You don't deserve it. But you've got the favor of God because you were chosen in Him. You were chosen in Him. And because you're in Him and all the favor of God was poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you are now the most highly favored individual in the universe. Because as the Father loved Jesus, so also He loves you. He loves you with the same love. Everything Jesus has going for Him, you have going for you. Now, the Scripture does say that Jesus increased. He kept increasing in favor. Now, what does that mean? How could the Son of God have any more favor than He already had? Here's how I read that verse. He was and is and always will be the Son of God. And He was the Son of Man. He was highly favored, but you know, Jesus, because He was the Son of Man, He grew Himself in the knowledge of God. And His knowledge of the favor of God upon His life grew as he studied the Word of God. And so He grew in the knowledge of what He had. And then secondly, you know that Jesus was not born under the dispensation of grace. He was born under the law. And He ministered under the law. And He lived under the law. And He died under the law. And He fulfilled the law in every detail. Thank God He fulfilled it for me so that I don't have to. And He earned the favor of God. But friends, we're in another dispensation. This is the age of God's grace. Hallelujah. It is a new covenant. And what He purchased is my present possession. All the favor of God is mine, and it's mine right now. I don't have to comb my hair differently, even though I'd like to. I'm trying to talk my wife into that, but she says, no, Joe, just keep wearing it the way it is. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't try to look like a 50-year-old guy who's trying to look like he's 19. So I keep asking her. I asked one brother. He had his hair, and he looked so good. I like Brother Ken's hair. Where is Brother Kenny? Because he's got it all gelled up. And I asked this one guy from England. I said, man, I like your hair. I'd like to wear my hair like that, but my wife won't let me. And he said, that was your first mistake, mate. So I just got to come home and surprise her. But I value her opinion. Well, the third thing I saw about this thing about favor is that it is not optional. I just thought because the way I was raised, I mean, nothing worked out for me. I never had connections with anybody. Do you know on my high school graduation, we had to stand up, you know, they call your name as you go up to the platform. Well, they skipped over my name and I stood there while the row empties and they get into the R's, S. Terrible. I mean, just things did not work out. I just thought, I was a runner. I was a long distance runner. You just know how to gut it out. And I thought, I'm just going to gut it out in life. I just thought, well, it's optional. I don't have to have it. Other people have it because they're cute or they're born with the right genes and they've got the right build and they're connected and their granddaddy's name is Boeing. I went to high school. There was a Boeing up there and I was invited to their house. And do you know it's not optional? You got to have it. You need it. You can't fulfill the plan of God unless... And do you know the plan of God has more to do... It doesn't just have to do with what you do, but with who you are. what you have. You know, daddies open doors. You know that? Dads make a way. They go out and they break trail. You know, up in Alaska, they have that race every year, the Iditarod. And they have guys out there on snow machines who go out and break the trail. And the guys that get off that trail and try to break that trail themselves, it is very tough to get out there. And you're the first dog sledder. But daddies open doors. They make a way. They break trail. And I'm telling you what, where we lived in Chukotka up there in northeastern Russia, you could come out of a snowstorm and you could be up to your waist in snow. And if you have ever tried to walk anywhere waist deep in snow, you know it is a hard thing to do. But they would get that caterpillar tractor. They didn't have a caterpillar, but they had a blade up there. And you could walk behind that blade. I'm telling you, it's a lot easier. You can go through life two ways. You can walk up to your hips in snow, or you can get behind the tractor. And I'm telling you what, the favor of God. God is a daddy, and He wants to open doors for you. He conceived the whole plan of redemption so you could walk in the light of it. Amen. Not be cheated out of it. Amen. This is not optional. Over in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, Jesus said this. He said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And of course, He was quoting the book of Isaiah there. The whole 61st chapter is on this concept of the year of the Lord's favor. And I've got good news for you this morning. We are still in the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. You need favor to be who God wants you to be, to have what God wants you to have, to do what God wants you to do, and you won't get there without it. I think of the connections that God has put together for us in our life, going all the way back to Bible school. We are now walking in some divine appointments just this past year that started way back there 19 years ago. And if we did not have favor with those people, we would not be in the center of the will of God, as I told you earlier. The reason why this has been the sweetest, happiest, most fulfilling year of our life and ministry that we can recall is because we are walking in God's favor. Now, we are working harder and we are working longer, but we are working smarter and we are working easier. Hallelujah. Because the favor of God will absolutely lift you up and propel you to shore. When I lived up in Seattle, we used to go to the coast there and ride the waves. And we were just down in Australia a few months ago. And the waves there are incredible. You know, in the Pacific Ocean up here, you got to wade out a long way before you get up to your knees and waist in breakers. But in Australia, off the east coast of Australia, you just get a few feet offshore and those breakers will break you. But you can get one of those. Now, if you get one that's just, you don't hit it just right, you may be keel-hauled on the sand. You know, it's just violent. But if you get one just right, it will pick you up and hurtle you toward the shore. And you just arms flailing like a rag doll. I'm telling you what, the favor of God will pick you up and lift you up and help you do what you cannot do. God never meant for you to do this thing alone. God never meant for you to work out your salvation all alone. You know, one thing I did as a lawyer, I would help people who had a relative die and I would probate the estate. Now, when you probate an estate, what you're doing is transferring the property from the decedent into his heirs and beneficiaries. And there are three things that have to happen in order for folks to receive an inheritance, to enter into their inheritance. First of all, this may surprise you, but when a person makes a will and you're named in the will, the moment they die, that property is yours. if you're one of their heirs or beneficiaries, even if they die without a will, if you're one of the heirs or beneficiaries, that's yours. But you don't get it unless three things happen. Number one, you got to know about it. Because what you don't know about, you do without. Number two, you got to claim it. You've got to appropriate it. You've got to present yourself to the personal representative of that estate. And number three, you have to receive it. And you can fail to receive it either through ignorance or some people just choose to reject their share of the estate. And thousands of Christians are in that position. I mean hundreds of thousands, millions around the world. First of all, they don't know. They don't know what is their inheritance. Number two, they don't appropriate it. They're just sitting on it. And the way the things of the kingdom of God work is what you don't know about is what you do without. And thirdly, they don't receive it. My job has not changed that much. I am still making people aware of their inheritance. Amen. And the favor of God puts you in a position to understand this is the year of the Lord's favor. And when Ephesians chapter 1 says that He chose you in Him, it says He predestined you to adoption as a son. And that is a legal term. It is a legal terminology. The happiest thing that has ever happened in any courtroom, anywhere in the world, is an adoption. It is very much like seeing a baby born. Because here you have people in that courtroom. This child is not a surprise. This child's not an accident. They have deliberately chosen to make this their child. And there is a feeling very much like being in a birthing room when that child is adopted. And when Paul wrote that, he had this in mind in that day in the Roman time. When someone was adopted, it just meant they were elevated to the position of a son with all the rights and privileges thereof, including the right of inheritance. You were chosen in Him and predestined to obtain an inheritance. And Romans 8:28-9 says you were predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. You were chosen in Him, and you were predestined to be adopted. You were predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, and you have been predestined to receive an inheritance. Amen. Because this is the year of the Lord's favor. And Jesus was anointed to proclaim that to people. He said, I've been anointed to proclaim liberty to you that are oppressed. I've been anointed to proclaim healing to the sick. I've been anointed to proclaim comfort for those who mourn. I have been anointed to proclaim debt release to the poor. I've been anointed to proclaim restoration of things that are lost, of the ancient ruins, rebuilding of things that were destroyed, raising up children so they're known among the nations, that they are a mighty generation. All of that is in the year of the Lord's favor. And the reason why we proclaim it is so people know about it. You were not predestined to poverty. He did not predestine you to poverty. When He chose you and Him before the foundation of the world, He had the whole plan of redemption in mind. He had you in mind. So like any good father, He'd come in and open some doors for you and make a way for you. Make it possible for you to enter in to receive that which Jesus provided for you. He didn't predestine you to poverty. He did not predestine you to captivity or oppression or depression or sickness or brokenheartedness or disappointment or failure. God did not predestine you to that. He predestined you to adoption as a son. That is your destiny. That's what predestination is. It means to determine your destiny ahead of time. And God, you know, people wonder, what's my destiny? Christians wonder that. What is the will of God? What's the plan of God for me? The plan of God and the will of God always has been and always will be that you be conformed to the image of His Son. And what does His Son look like? He does not look like a failure. And He is not afraid. And He is not insecure. And He's not broke. And He's not sick. And He's not defeated. And He's not depressed. And He's not confused. And He's not in turmoil. And He's not in fear. And He's not in condemnation. And He's not in strife. And He's not in torment. And he's not in debt. And He's not struggling with asthma. And He's not struggling with diabetes. He's not struggling with cancer. You've been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. You will find yourself in Him, and you will never find yourself outside of Him. You were chosen in Him, chosen in Him, chosen in Him. From before the foundation of the world, you were predestined to be adopted, to receive all the rights and privileges of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, to have His inheritance. That is what belongs to you, because this is the year of the Lord's favor. You don't deserve it. You haven't earned it. And you never will. But thanks be to God, Jesus did. And it's yours now. He earned it. He deserved it. And it is yours by grace. He did not predestine you to loss or ruin or bankruptcy or anxiety about the past or anxiety about the present or anxiety about the future or anxiety about your retirement. God did not predestine you to that. He predestined you to receive an inheritance. The year of the Lord's favor. Debts canceled. Children come home. Children get saved. Marriages get healed. People get healed. People that are tormented get free. Minds get cleared up. Bank accounts get cleared up. Businesses prosper. Marriages prosper. He did not predestine you to a broken home. He did not predestine you to have messed up kids. He didn't predestine you to have a messed up marriage. He didn't predestine you to have a messed up head. He didn't predestine you to be broke and poor and down and discouraged and defeated and whipped and frustrated and half fulfilled or one quarter fulfilled or wandering through life without direction, without a sense of purpose. He did not predestine you to that. God doesn't predestine people to mediocre, normal lives. God doesn't predestine people to lives of quiet desperation. God doesn't predestine people to lives of failure and frustration and frustration with their flesh. And they're trying to get their flesh under control and they've tried 10 zillion times and they still ate the whole hamburger. And they told themselves they weren't going to eat that whole hamburger. And they weren't going to eat all those fries, but they did. And not only that, but they had the onion rings too as an appetizer. And they're so frustrated and they can't seem to get it under control. God did not predestine you to frustration. I'm telling you, the favor of God will help you lose weight. Because you can't do it in your own strength. And for all you self-righteous skinny people, you probably didn't have anything to do with being skinny. Probably just your metabolism. Doesn't mean you have your flesh under control. And if you judge people that have a few pounds to lose, you're more in the flesh than they are. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. And If you are a little bigger than you want to be, I'm telling you what, the favor of God is on you. God chose you. Every square inch of you. And the favor of God's on you. If you're frustrated dads and you can't talk to your kids without them retaliating and fighting back and being feisty and you don't know why, well, there's reasons for that, but I'll tell you what. If you know that the favor of God is on you, it'll help you to shut your mouth and quit pointing things out and telling them to do all these things and straighten them out all the time. The dads are so good at doing it and totally exasperating their kids. Amen. But they love you because the favor of God's on you. I'm telling you, friends, you didn't earn that favor. It's on you and it sticks to you like white on rice. There's just two things you need to do. Number one, you got to know about it. If you don't know about this, you'll do without it. You'll walk in ignorance like I did. Walking through the Scotch broom and the vacant lots and my jeans get all wet and soggy and walking around the rain. I tell you what, Scotch broom has as much to do with my calling to the nations as anything, because I just thought, Lord, I can't live in Scotch broom the rest of my life. Please help me, Lord. That favor is yours, but you can't be ignorant of it. When he said, I've been anointed to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, it's because you need an anointing to proclaim that, because people turn it off. That's why Paul said, I pray that you'll have a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you know the hope God's called you to. God hasn't called you to hopelessness. He called you to hope. He said, so that you'll know what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance. Do you know, the Father leaves an inheritance for the children. That's His inheritance because He's given it to you. But it takes a spirit of wisdom and revelation to get a clue, to see who you are. Find out who you are. Find out who you are and what belongs to you. You need a revelation of it. So number one, you got to know about. Number two, walk in the light of it. And act like it's so. You are not alone. God did not predestine you to loneliness. He's a good father. He didn't predestine you to sadness or to die of some disease. He's a good God. He's a good God. Everything He did in Jesus just for you. So you could have an inheritance. It is the year of the Lord's favor. And we must proclaim that. Thank God for faith. But you don't earn it by your faith. I believe in faith. But faith receives what God's provided. You're not working this up. You know, people get this wrong idea. Oh, he's a great man of faith. They're a great man of faith. You know what? If you look in the Bible and you look at the so-called great men of faith, like the centurion or the Syrophoenician woman, you'll find out something. And you talk to really people who were great men and women of faith, you'll find out there aren't any great men of faith. There's no great people of faith. There's just people who know they have a great God. And the difference between the disciples and the centurion and the disciples and the Syrophoenician is the disciples had no confidence in God. They said, save us, Lord. We're perishing. We're going to drown. Jesus said, where's your faith? But the centurion said, Lord, just say the word. He had confidence in Jesus. He had confidence in his high priest, in his advocate, in his lawyer, in the testator, that he had died and secured the rights. The Syrophoenician woman, she just had faith in a great God. Stop thinking you're going to morph and grow into this place where suddenly you are super spiritual, because you never will. You always have the flesh. But right now, at this moment, you can know you got a great God, and He is favorably and positively inclined towards you. Stand up on your feet with me. We're going to pray. And with the brother who plays the keyboard, could you go up there? Are you here, brother? Would you play something heavenly? Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Thank God for His grace. Hallelujah. I am a child of the King. I have inherited all the riches, all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. They are mine. I intend to find out what that means. I do not want to leave one nugget on the table. And you can. You can die and go to heaven and leave some of it there. I was involved in situations where that happened. Legally. You can leave some of the inheritance on the table. And you go through life defeated and without everything that God has for you. So we're going to pray here. And brother, can you play a strings or something like that? I know you're trying to coordinate there with sound, but that's all right. We just get our eyes on the Lord, the music will play. Heavenly Father, we do thank You and praise You. Lord, I don't know if there's anyone here within the sound of my voice in this room or watching that is not a child of God. They've never been born again. But Father God, it's so easy to enter into the family of God. It's just a matter of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I just wonder, as I look around this room, just every head bowed, every eye closed, is there anyone in this place that is not a child of God? And by that I mean, you have never received Jesus. Man, you're rich. There's an inheritance for you, but the first thing you've got to do is become part of the family. It's not joining a church. It's just saying yes to God. I remember when the Lord Jesus came to live in me. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we worship you. Father, we magnify you. Oh, right now, right now, right now. I just want to ask you to lift your hands to the Lord in your hearts. Oh, Jesus, and enter into your inheritance. This is the year of the Lord's favor. And I want you just to pray with me. You don't have to repeat. Let your heart be. Heavenly Father, we do enter in to our inheritance. Lord, I pray for the people this morning. You did direct me to preach this message this morning. And there's some that have stood at the threshold. And Father, they have been frustrated. But you so much want them to know, my son, my daughter, these things are yours. My son purchased them with his own blood. And I've not excluded you or secluded you or separated you or made you a special case. But I predestined you to run your race, to run in faith, knowing the favor of your Father, your Father. No matter what your natural father was like, your heavenly Father beams down on you with great love. And he's opened doors for you. He has predestined you to adoption. He chose you. You didn't just happen. He chose you to make you a part of the family. And he predestined you to look just like Jesus, to walk just like Jesus, to be just like Jesus. And then Jesus went through a terrible struggle, great agony, and unspeakable suffering to purchase your inheritance. Will you enter into it? Will you take that which I've provided for you? As the word came forth this morning, it's time to fall back into the arms of God and trust Him. And stop trying to rationalize and figure it all out. But how? But how? But fall back into the everlasting arms. And your Father will catch you. For He's provided for you and He loves you and you have favor with Him. And that favor will cause you to have favor with men. And when there is no favor to be had with men, the favor of God will rise up and carry you through. For He is with you. You must believe that. He is for you. You must believe that. Hallelujah. And so say this with me, Heavenly Father. It's in the plan. It's in the provision. It's in the covenant. It's in the will. My debts are paid. Good news to the poor. My debts are paid. A full supply, a full provision is mine. Not because I'm so smart or I can figure it out, but because of the favor of God. Yeah, I do my part. But God is my Father, and He has provided healing, blessing, peace, comfort, joy, liberty. Hallelujah. Esse broke, danse, brekete, desse brakade, eche breke. I see a door in some minds that have been clouded with oppression and torment. And the Lord says, now, just open up the door. The door is open. Walk on out. And leave those thoughts behind you. Those thoughts that have tormented you and troubled you and crushed you in the nighttime and at other times. Just step on out the door. Where the air is clear and fresh. It's like a fresh spring day. And you'll have a peace in your mind that you have never had before. And so, Father, I proclaim release to the captives with your holy oil in the name of Jesus from those that have been tormented in their minds. Fear, yeah, and over things long past that happened long ago. It wasn't their fault. They didn't do it, and you didn't do it either. I release you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I have authority to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and I release you in the mighty name of Jesus. From all those things that happen, they do not have to hinder you and shall not hinder you. If you know that God is for you, and if God is for you, who or what can be against you? Father, for supernatural healing right now in this room, those that are sick in their bodies, lift your hands, receive. You don't have to earn it by your faith. That's not what faith is all about. You don't have to reach a plateau of perfect faith. That's not what faith is about. Faith is all about Jesus, and it's all about Him and what He did. And He loves you. You are favored by God. And this belongs to you now. You're the most highly favored individual in the universe. And the year of the Lord's favor has provided healing for that sickness and that disease, that cancer, that growth, that thyroid, that asthma, and diabetes too must go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, those children that are away, the year of the Lord's favor brings them home. It brings them back, and they shall be known among the peoples as a mighty generation, as a godly seed. How? How? Where? Why? Don't have to know. The year of the Lord's favor has provided it. You are highly favored. But you don't know what I did. I drove them away. But you are highly favored. The blood of Jesus is debt cancellation, not only financial, but personal and interpersonal. So they'll rise to a higher level, and they'll walk in a place of grace where they have heretofore not walked in. And they will know, especially those who had no father, or whose father was not a father, they will know the sunshine and the love of their heavenly Father. That He is a God that makes a way. He is a God who repairs and fixes what's in the past. He's a God that says, you're not alone. I'm with you, my daughter. I'm with you, my son. He's a strong Father who does what you cannot. It's the year of the Lord's favor. So, Father, we do bless you. And we thank you that we'll rise and walk in the light of that knowledge and enter into our inheritance. And we purpose in our hearts, say this with me, Father, I purpose in my heart to know and walk in the light of my inheritance. Give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation that I may know the hope to which you come and the power of your resurrection and my inheritance in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, one last thing, if you're not born again, anyone here, if you just close your eyes one more time real quickly and I'll let you go. you gotta make Jesus the Lord of your life if you never had. Is there anyone here? I'm looking all over the auditorium. You don't have a relationship with God. You're not born again. You've never asked Jesus in your heart. Is there anyone here like that? I'm looking all over. Now, if you're embarrassed to raise your hand, you still can go up to one of these ushers or one of the leaders in the church, and you can tell them, look, I don't know exactly what he's talking about, but I do want to have a relationship with God. And they will help you. Amen. Pastor, just turn that back.
Praise the Lord.